From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the fourth day of November 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We'll check the cash grain segment with folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County and hear all about Todd Hubb's latest pinnings on the Farm Doc Daily website on this Monday edition of the closing market report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, corn futures finished 6 cents lower today, $3.83 and a quarter, the settlement price. March at 3.93 and a half, down five. May down four at $4.50, and July at 4.06 and a half, 3 and a half lower. December of next year down 2 cents at 4.03 and three quarters. November soybeans up a penny and a half, finished at 9.25 and three quarters. January at 9.38, up 1 and a quarter. March futures 9.51 and a quarter, 2 higher, and the May at 9.63 and a quarter, up 2 and a half. July soybeans 2 and three quarters higher at 9.73 and a half. Next year's November at 9.74 and a quarter, up 2 and a quarter for the day. Wheat futures soft red, July at 5.25 and three quarters, down 5 and a quarter. The hard red July at 4.53, down 3 and a quarter. The bean oil up 84 cents. The bean meal $1.50 lower for the day. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the December at $120.07 and a half, up 55. The feeders in the November contract down a nickel at $149.07 and a half, and lean hog at $64.52 and a half, up 7 and a half cents for the afternoon. The crude oil for the day at $56.56 a barrel, up 36 cents. Ethanol futures at $1.46, 0.9 cents higher, 900s rather. That's right, 0.9 cents higher for the day. Heating oil or diesel fuel about 0.9 cents higher at $1.94 and 2 cents. And gasoline on the RBOB is a penny higher for the day. It finished at 1.66 and 0.6 cents. Natural gas up 10.5 cents at $2.81 and 9 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average around 123 points higher. The U.S. dollar up 0.324 at 97.365. And the gold futures for the day unchanged at $1,508. Even. Well, Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, now joins us to take a look at what happened in Chicago for the day and how farmers fared over the weekend. Hey, thanks so much, Kurt, for being with us today.
Well, you're welcome, Ty. Glad to be here.
I want to go back to Friday because there were a couple of things that happened there that we did not talk about on the radio too much. There were a couple of updates from FC Stone and some others with some numbers for this Friday's USDA November crop production report. What did they show?
Well, in the Stone report, they put their corn yield at 170 bushels to the acre versus 169.3. And they only Old Informa Company put their corn yield 168.6 versus 167.5 versus the USDA 168.4. But the significance of those two numbers came out that they raised corn yield just slightly. So the trade on their part's looking for maybe just a little higher production number. Beans, a little bit the opposite. The Stone soybean yield was 47.5 versus their last estimate of 48.1. And then Informa was 47 bushels versus 46.9, up slightly versus the USDA 46.9. So, you know, we'll see what type of yield comes in. It seems like the analysts are upping their yield a little bit. And it kind of looks like the satellite guys are low, keeping their yield low. And, of course, the producer continues to tout that yields are coming in better than expected, but they had pretty low expectations according to how late the crop went into and what growing conditions they were faced with. The other thing, too, on Friday there, we saw the baseline projections, and they were quite optimistic. And this is just for budgetorial purposes. But when they looked at the corn acreage, next year they're looking at about 94.5 bushels to the acre. And when you carry through on the math on it, it puts carry out close to 2.7 billion bushels. And they had that figure dialed in for several years to come. So with the little higher production number from the analysts, a little longer-term negative outlook, and a somewhat dry 2 weeks in through here, it kind of kept corn futures under pressure for most of the session here, Todd.
then 94.5 million acres would be a lot of acres of corn next year, though many have been expecting that number to be fairly large for next year, though I'm not sure that they were thinking that those forecasts would carry on through very long in that 10-year forecast. The other item I made a note of this morning were the export inspections. They were really low this morning.
Well, yeah, you know, the corn estimate came in about 276,000 tons, and they were looking for about 400 to 600. Wheat was low, too, 293 tons versus 450-700. Beans were strong at 1.4. But, too, you got to remember on the corn, we're not very far along with harvest. We're also in a situation where the export demand itself really doesn't start to pick up till after the first of the year. The key purchases and shipments continues to be on the beans as we try to see these supplies secured by Asia and get these supplies shipped to Asia before the Brazilian crop comes on this spring, whereas the corn demand is expected to pick up here as we get a little further along with harvest and get more in the calendar year of 2020, where it's more traditionally supposedly pick up. It's awful early to count exports out. The marketing year does not end till September 1st.
On that note of next year, that's, of course, a long ways away. On that note, though, we probably ought to look at harvest progress. That's due out this afternoon. Do we have expectations?
Yeah, it's kind of tough because we had monsoonal rains there, and we had, some snow. So it varies highly from location to location. It kind of seems like, though, when you look at the map and listen to folks like you that's been out and about, the north, northwest are still a little bit slow in getting their harvest out, so we'll have to look at the state breakdowns. But as a nation, corn harvest is expected to be about 54% complete versus 41% last week. The bean harvest is expected to be 75% complete as a nation versus 62% last week.
Are farmers going today? Have you been able to hear?
Well, I'm surprised we didn't see more pictures on Twitter of stuck vehicles. You get on north of here, there's some, one producer, he had a truck semi stuck and it wasn't even loaded, but they're giving it a try. I feel as the week moves on through here, the sun stays out and the wind keeps blowing, we'll see more activity. I believe some of these grimes we're talking about this week, to expect corn to dry down maybe a quarter to a third of a point per day in through here. But, it's going to have to firm up a little bit more to see some activity pick up.
Anything else before I let you go?
Well, we saw the meat trade be fairly active for cattle. Beef demand still remains quite robust. On the hog side, still waiting for phase one, but the expectations continue to dwindle in through here as far as any large quantity, and the concern about whether we'll get to phase two or phase three is still questionable. And the pork complex continue to look at the spreads. We got ample pork supplies up front, and that's why the December is a substantial discount to the summers. There's still quite a bit of optimism that we could see some of this pork demand show up in June and July. So it's going to be critical for that to happen to keep those summer months that much of a premium.
Hey, thanks so much.
Very good. Take care.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and he is correct. I did a Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Find it online. Listen to it on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. I did make a trip from here in Champaign County to Mason City, Iowa, which is in the northern part of that state, yesterday. It's about 6 hours, all on the interstate, relatively speaking. They're running 65, 70, 75 miles an hour all the way up. I saw six combines, just six, running on the way there. On the way back, it started to rain, and then it was dark. I think I did see one more running here in Champaign County when I got back late last night, around 8 o'clock. So I was in 12 hours in the car. A couple of notes. A lot more beans out there than I expected. About every 40 or 50 miles, a township was completely gone. Otherwise, there was corn. There was corn, and the further north you went, the wetter it got. All of the rivers were completely full, of course, including the Mississippi. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist, to talk about his weekly outlook article posted to the FarmDoc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. He thinks this week quite a bit about exports of soybeans and what the potential exports might look like to China. Can you tell me a little bit about the background and where you headed with this article?
Yeah, I was just looking at, you know, if we get this phase one trade deal done in November, what is that going to mean for soybean exports from the U.S. to China and what it might do to soybean trade flows around the world? You know, the original announcement on this was talking $40 to $50 billion. Then it morphed into $20 billion. And then we've heard China talking about as Chinese demand requires. So I just wanted to do a little work and try to do some estimation on what I think would happen to soybean exports under this phase one trade deal. All of this stuff is dependent on production scenarios, both here and in South America, and the actual structure of the trade deal, which no one knows really what that's going to be yet. But basically, I went into it before the trade fight. Traditionally, the United States exported about 37% to 38% of China's soybean imports. Right now, China's forecast to import about 3.12 billion bushels, despite what's going on with swine fever and that spread in Asia. And, you know, if we did that again, you know, that's about 1.18 billion bushels of soybean exports. Now, that sounds great because we did 489 million bushels last year to China. But you always have to remember there's a substitution effect that goes on. We exported last year about 1.258 billion bushels to the rest of the world, not China. And inside that, we picked up a lot of slack from South American customers as China bought heavily, particularly from Brazil, to make up for what they weren't taking from the United States. So if we switch back to a scenario where China's buying more soybeans from the United States, everyone should expect South American exports to these other places to increase. I think that's a reasonable expectation, particularly since the soybean crop in Brazil is projected to be a monster. You know, they're looking at, they got 91.2 million acres supposedly planted at a 49.5 bushel per acre yield. That's a big crop they're looking at right there. And they have to do something with it. And so I go through and do some calculations and think about where our exports have been. And in total, I think you could see U.S. exports go up 70 to 100 million bushels under a phase one trade deal. That's accelerated exports to China, but we fall back from exports to everybody else. And that is dependent on current production scenarios. So if the U.S. crop continues to deteriorate or the Brazilian crop gets bigger for some reason, you'll see shares of exports move around a bit.
What's kind of the bottom line for it in that case?
I think the reason I wrote this article today is I think a lot of people are seeing or thinking this phase one trade deal with China. We did 489 million last year. Now we're going to do over a billion. That's an X amount jump. That's not how it's going to play out, right? And so I think you could see strength in exports. But if our crop continues to deteriorate and the kind of price rises we've seen based on this expectation of higher exports could eat into soybean crush a little bit. Basically, I don't write this. I just talk about exports in general. My thoughts are we could see overall use go up a little bit, but not near as much as people are thinking it might. Crush could deteriorate a bit as exports accelerate a little bit. And in the end, it may be near a wash. You could see actual demand maybe increase 50 to 80 million bushels.
You write in the article that you believe the price action thus far has included both the increases that have happened with exports with China and, I suppose, a deteriorating soybean crop. But I'm not sure about the second part yet.
Yeah, it's hard. I think the prices we've seen have incorporated a lot of the action and the buying we've seen China do and some of the deterioration of the crop. It's hard to say right now what the actual yield of soybeans is. You know, I think you could see another bushel come out of U.S. soybean yields before it's all said and done. Which would shrink the total supply, you know, another 75 to 6 million bushels. And I think you would see prices respond accordingly. But, you could see some strong price action from a trade deal going into place. And we know when the trade deal, if it gets done, there's going to be a lot of noise and ballyhoo from the administration and other people about what this is going to do for agriculture. And I think it will be supportive, maybe more so in the meat space than the crop space. But you could still see corn and ethanol go up. The trouble for soybeans is there's another major world producer out there, and I cannot see, personally, China walking away from some of these trade relationships they've built over the last year and a half with places like Brazil, Argentina, the Ukraine, and Russia. They're still going to do significant buying from those places, in my opinion, because there's no guarantee of a solution to the long-run trade impasse we're in. They're talking about three phases with this trade deal. This is phase one. I don't know if we'll ever get to phase two or phase three, right? So we'll see what happens in 2020. I think it's very easy to see us just sort of level out at this new agreement where we don't raise tariffs in December. They buy X amount of agricultural products as we move through the rest of the year. But I don't think they're going to guarantee some dollar amount, particularly $40 billion of ag purchases from the United States. I just don't see that happening, because that's going to do things to their market and their relationships to their other trade partners in general. So for soybeans in particular, I think it's a positive development. I think it's a good thing on the export side, but it may not be the silver bullet I think a lot of people have said it will be.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
That's Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's turn our attention on this Monday to the agricultural weather forecast. We're joined by Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Hey, a much nicer weekend this weekend than it was last weekend. Not too much to worry about. I wonder, though, Mark, does that mean after we get a few days, and I won't say drying conditions, just of clear weather, will farmers be able to get out and harvest again?
Looks like over time the pattern is going to become more favorable for harvest progress here across the Corn Belt. Reason being is that the pattern during the next few weeks will feature below normal precip with really no major or minor storm systems across the central U.S. All of the more significant storminess will be in areas of the Pacific Northwest and then on over to the northeastern U.S. But here in between, in the nation's midsection, overall much quieter from a precip standpoint. Now, along with the quieter conditions will be colder than normal temperature, especially the next 10 days where just, you know, deep freeze will be in place. But, you know, the main item of note right now is with the precip prospects, which, again, different from what we've seen in recent weeks with just major significant precip, major and more significant precip amounts here in the Corn Belt. Certainly that risk now is decreasing as we go through the next few weeks.
You know, deep freeze may be just what producers are thinking about, especially if there isn't precipitation, snowfall or rainfall, either one, so that they can get that heavy equipment out on the fields and bring the harvest in. Are we going to freeze the soils up? Is it that cold?
I guess it won't be fully below freezing. Like, you know, case in point, go to a place like up north into areas of, like, you know, Fargo, North Dakota, Red River Valley, and that. There will be, coming up later on this week, you go from about 72 hours that will be dropping below 32, but then you warm back up, and obviously here in areas of Illinois, adjacent areas of Indiana, really consistent morning lows below freezing, but then you increase your temperatures into the upper 30s and 40s then during the day.
Turn your attention to other parts of the world, South America in particular. Brazil was needing rainfall, though I think they've gotten some. What does it look like there?
Yeah, over the past week, we have seen an increase in rain activity both in southern Brazil and northern Brazil, and that general increase will continue over the next several weeks. So a continued gradual improvement in soil moisture reserves. Again, it hasn't been a great start in Brazil, but it hasn't been any kind of disaster either. And overall, the pattern for the next 2 weeks looks pretty seasonal across much of Brazil.
Your assessment of Argentina's condition?
Yeah, Argentina still need to watch the situation closely with dryness, especially in the areas in and around the province of La Pampa. That's been the driest area of Argentina over the past 30 days. And with the outlook coming up, which looks a little bit drier versus what was the case last week, it looks like much of the southern belt will continue to miss out on significant precip. So something to keep in mind as we go through this early to middle part of November.
And check on the Black Sea for me.
Yeah, specifically in areas of western Ukraine, rainfall and, well, snowfall totals as well. Overall precipitation has been less than normal over the past 30 days, about 50 to 25% of normal. That dryness looks to expand coming up over the next few weeks across more of the Black Sea region. So the timing of it's not any kind of major issue, but ideally they'd like to see more precip, especially as winter wheat, which still some needs to be planted here, but for overall crops that have been planted, growth will be actually accelerated because of warmer temperatures, and thus more moisture will be needed for favorable emergence and development. So also something to keep an eye on, not a major issue, but at least an area to watch out in the global winter wheat areas.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. We're now joined by Greg Johnson. He's at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
So first I need to know, are there very many trucks in the line today? I would think, given the amount of rainfall, maybe not, or at least not long lines anyway.
Well, actually, we had Saturday we were closed. Sunday we were open, and we had quite a few people running yesterday already, and even more today, and even more so tomorrow. I think the weather forecast doesn't sound like we're going to get any more drying weather, and so I think farmers have kind of made that decision that, you know, we might as well go out and get the corn now because it's probably not going to dry on its own anymore. So we're actually pretty busy. I wouldn't say we have long lines, but we have just a steady flow coming through today.
What's the moisture content?
That's the problem. We were down around 22%, but now we're starting to get to some of this June planted corn, and it's above 26% moisture in places. So we're going to see a lot of 25, 26, 27% moisture corn, I think, over this last part of the June planted corn.
How is it?
Well, the yields aren't bad. We're probably 15% off of last year's record yields. The beans were 20% off of last year's record yield. So the corn's not as bad as the beans, but again, 15%, that's probably 30, 40 bushels lower than what we had a year ago. In some places, it's worse than that. In other places, not quite as bad. But, you know, the yields are down, but not down enough that it's not affecting the market at this point anyway.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with me today. We'll talk with you again next week.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report for a Monday afternoon. You can find it online. Listen to it on demand, by the way, anytime you'd like. WillAg.org, WILLAG.org. Hey, since you're in the combine and the tractor, why don't you try hooking this up through the Bluetooth and listening to us as a podcast? Look up your favorite podcast app in the Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, SoundCloud, Stitcher, NPR One, even Spotify if you're a user of that particular service. Thanks for listening again. One of the easiest ways still is to find us on the website and listen through willag.org, WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason.